We are holding on Chafches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah that every day they would send somebody up to the roof or to the top of a wall in order to look and see whether the whether it's light enough in the sky yet to start to shech the carbon tamid and start the avodah of the day. And we said, v'lomo hutzru chola kach v'chola, why do they need that? Because one time the moonlight, one night they saw the moonlight, they thought that it was the sunlight, and they shechted the korban tamid, and then they discovered their mistake and realized that they had done it at night, and they had to end up burning the korban tamid. So the Gemara asks, mi michlef? How could you confuse them in the first place? Well, Tanya, we learn a brayse, Rebbe Omer, Eina Daima Timur Shochama L'Timur Shalavana L'Timur Shochama. The column of light that you see in the sky when the moon rises is not like what you see when the sun rises. Timur Shalavana, the light that you see in the sky, obviously if you see them, then you're going to know which is which. But we're talking about if you only see the light without seeing the actual sun or moon itself. Timur Shalavana Mitamur V'Oyla Kamakel, the light of the moon when it's still below the horizon, but you start seeing the light above the horizon, the tamer of oila kamakel, it goes straight up like a stick, tumor shochama, and the light of the sun, mafia lakan lakan, spreads in one direction or another. In other words, it spreads across the whole horizon. So then that should be easy enough to be able to tell. Tonad ve Rabbi Shmuel. So we learn in a braise from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, yoimam unen hoya. What happened was, in this case, it was a cloudy day, So the moonlight was broken up by the clouds, and therefore it was spreading in different directions wherever it could peep through the clouds. And therefore they thought that that was sunlight, and they thought that it was sunlight, and they thought that it was day, and they started their shech with the korban tamid, etc. So there were two things that happened. First of all, the Gemara is going to explain soon that this can't have been, the Gemara is going to explain later, this can't have been on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the moon doesn't rise that time of the night. It had to have been close to the end of the month, as we'll talk about later. So two things happened. Number one, it was close to the end of the month, and number two, it was a cloudy day, so the combination of those two things, they thought that the moonlight was the sunlight. Amar Papa says, Shmamina, we see from this, since we're saying that it was cloudy and the light was peeking wherever it could through the clouds, so we see from that, Yoyma de'iva kula shimsha. A cloudy day is all sunlight. In other words, when it's a clear day, you have the sun is in a particular part of the sky, so you're in the direct line of it, or you're not. If you're in the shade, then there's no problem. Obviously, the sunlight is not reaching you. But on a cloudy day, just the opposite, the sunlight is reaching you wherever you are, because the sun will just peek through the clouds wherever it can. So the mind nafkamina. So why? What's the practical outcome of that? Why is your papa telling us that? Number one, l'shetuchi oiris. It's useful to know if you're spreading out skins to dry them, to eventually turn them into leather. So if it's a sunny day, then you want to put them davka where the sun is going to beat on them. If it's a cloudy day, it's not that important. You can spread them out anywhere, and the sun's light will still reach them. Inami, or another possibility is we can learn from what Rav Papa is saying, not only something like that, not only a practical thing, but you can also learn a practical thing that's negeya lahaloch. The kedidorash Rava, we can use it regarding what Rava darshin, we learned about this in Pesachim, isha loitolosh lebachama, velebachame chama. A woman, when she's baking matzahs for Pesach, obviously the same thing as a man, but in those times women did most of the kneading and baking, so she's not allowed to knead the dough for matzahs in the sunlight, or using water that was warmed by the sunlight, because in either case the extra heat is likely to make the dough become chometz more readily. This is the fact that we have to use colder water is why the Gemara in that same sugya mentions we have to use mayim shalanu. And this that we're saying over here is therefore, so in other words, you shouldn't bake matzahs out in the open or where the sunlight can come in through a window. So the Papa is telling us then on a cloudy day, So on a sunny day, fine. If the sun happens to be on that side of the sky and peeking in and looking in through the window, then you can't bake over there, like Rava is saying. But if the window faces in a different direction, then that would be fine. Rav Papa is telling us if the window faces a different direction, then if it's a cloudy day, then you still can't because the sun is going to peek through everywhere it can between the clouds. Okay. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions some statements about that. Omer Rav Nachman, Zuhama de Shimsha Koshi Meshimsha. The Zuhama of the sun, which means Rashi says the heat that we get from the sun like that on a cloudy day. So Zuhama in the Gemara, I mean, literally Zuhama means dirt or filth, but the Gemara uses it a lot of times for, the Gemara can use it for moisture or humidity. Or the stuff that floats to the pot in a pot of soup also is called zuama. So over here, what it means is, in other words, like the humid heat that you get from the sun when it's peeking through the clouds. There was a different girsa actually, zihara d'shimsha, which means the rays of the sun that are peeking through the clouds. Anyway, koshim is shimsha. That is in a way worse than the actual direct sunlight, because that's what we're saying, that if you're making matzahs outdoors on a sunny day, you just have to make sure that you're out of the sun. But if you're on a cloudy day, then even that's not enough, because the humid heat, the heat and the humidity that you get from the sun on such a day are more potent and stronger than what you get than what you get if the sun is beating directly down. Another v'simonach, and a way to remember it, is dana d'chala. Think of what happens with a barrel of vinegar. If you have a barrel of vinegar that's sealed tight, then obviously the smell is not coming out. Now, if you make a little hole in that barrel, then a very powerful vinegary smell will come out of it. The same way, if you have a day that's basically cloudy, if you have a day that's cloudy and the sun is covered up by the clouds, and it's only able to peek through the clouds here and there, so therefore therefore the power, the heat of it, comes through those places much more intensely. Another one, Shabriri Deshimsha, the bright rays of the sun, Kashu Mishimsha, are worse for you than the sun itself, meaning a similar idea Rashi describes. Let's say, so before we were talking about, let's say it's uniformly cloudy, so you don't really see a ray of sun peeking through anywhere. But nevertheless, obviously the heat of it is reaching us, and therefore that heat is in a way more intense, which is what we said as far as baking matzahs, that it's enough to make them chametz, and therefore we have to bake indoors. Now we're saying something else. Sometimes you have the clouds are not completely covering the sky. You have the clouds are broken, and here and there you have a ray of sun actually peeking through. So those are worse for you. If you look at those are worse even than looking at the sun directly. Again, because of the same idea, because you have a tiny amount of sunlight coming, not tiny amount, whatever, you have a sunlight, you have powerful sunlight coming through a tiny little hole like that in the clouds, and therefore it's much more concentrated. V'simanach dilpa, a way to remember that is think what happens when there's a leak in the roof. If you have, a person goes into water, a person goes into a swimming pool or a mikveh or whatever, or even a person is walking down the street and getting rained on, they don't mind it as much as if there's one place where the rain is leaking in and falling on them, they find that much more objectionable. So the same way, there's a difference between the sun as a whole beating down on you versus it's coming through in one particular place through one little hole in the clouds, then that's much more intense and even more harmful to your eyesight. Next, another one like that. Hihure Avera, Koshume Avera. The thoughts of Avera, and in Gemara terminology, usually Avera means znus, or at least Rashi says Taivas Noshim, the Taiva for women. Koshume Avera is stronger than the Avera itself. Which means, Rashi says, in other words, we're talking about Poshet, the effect that it has on the body, like we were with all these other ones. It means, in other words, that Tashmish itself weakens a person, but thoughts of that he wants to be together with women makes him even weaker. And the idea is the mashal we'll get to in a second, but one idea with that would be if he has those hihura avera and is not able to act on them. So if he has the hirhu and eventually is able to act on it, then in a way it's not so bad. But when he has the hirhu and he's not able to do anything about it, then that weakens him even more than doing the actual aveda itself. Now that's on a pshat level. Rashi is telling us it just means about the effect on the body. Many of them, Mefarshim explain, and also in Chassidus it talks about, the Alter Rebbe brings it in Perek Yud Aleph Tanya, for example, that it also means on a ruchniistic level. In other words, as bad as doing an actual Aveda itself is, Hirhure Aveda can be worse. And there's a few reasons why, and in Biur Tanya it gives a couple of explanations why. One of them is because, after all, there's really no limit to how much a person can think of Aveda, so at least do, there's a limit, there's only so much a body can do of Aveda, but thoughts a person could be having constantly. Also, there's the idea, because the thought, a person's brain, a person's mind, is the greatest part of him. It's the most human part of a person, the only thing we don't share in common with the animals. So therefore, if a person misuses that for hirhure aveda, then it's in a way, even worse than doing the actual aveda itself. Another one is because aveda itself, after a while, a person can get tired of it, and there's only so much he can do, and eventually, okay, he fulfilled his taiva, and that's it. Whereas hirhure aveda, a person could be thinking of endlessly. The simanach, and the way to remember this is recha de bisra, the smell of roasted meat. That smell is very powerful, very penetrating. A person has a real taiva for it, and Toys for Sishonim adds, imagine you have then somebody who smells that but can't eat it. Where, in other words, the idea is if he ate it, it wouldn't necessarily be that healthy for him either. But if he smells it and can't eat it, then that's even worse for him. That has even a stronger effect on him. In fact, you have a Gemara in Ksubas, for example, that says that you have, let's say, a waiter. You have to give him some of the food that you're eating, because otherwise he has tremendous tsar that he smells that delicious food and he's not able to eat it. The Gemara continues, Shile de Kaita Kosha Mikaita. The end of the summer, the heat at the end of the summer, Elul time, Rashi says, Kosha Mikaita is stronger and more intense than the heat of the main part of the summer. So you compare the heat of Tammuz, for example, and the heat of Elul is stronger and worse. Because the atmosphere has been already warm, the climate has been warm for a couple of months, so therefore everybody's been hot, everybody's been overheated. Now you have just a little bit of extra heat is enough to be very uncomfortable and to harm people and make them sick. V'simanach, and the way to remember it, tanura shdira. Think of an oven that was already fired up. When you have an oven that you didn't yet fire up, then you need to put in a lot of wood, and it takes a lot of effort in order to get it hot. But once it was already heated up several times that day, then already it still retains some heat. Then it's much easier to get it to a high temperature with only a little wood. So the same way, in other words, the idea is at the end of the summer, it's much easier to it doesn't take much to raise the temperature and to make you feel uncomfortable because of the extra heat. Another one, Ishsa de Sitva, Kashim de Kaita, a fever during the winter time is worse than a fever during the summertime. Mistimonach Tanura Krira, a way to remember that is the opposite, a cold oven. If you have an oven that was not yet fired up that day, you need a lot of wood to fire it up and get it hot. The same way, as opposed to if the oven's already hot, you don't need very much, like in the previous mashal. The idea is, in other words, over here, during the summer, for a person to get it, to have a fever, for their temperature to be higher, is not such a hard thing, because as it is, the air is hot, the weather is hot, but during the winter time when it's cold, for a person to get, for a person to be, to be sick enough that to raise their temperature takes a much stronger sickness to be able to do that than it would during the summer. And one more, migma be'atikta kashi mechadta, learning something old again, that you learned something and then you forgot about it, and now you're going to relearn it, it's harder than learning something that you never learned before. V'simanach tina bartina, the way to remember that is think of mortar that's made from old mortar. Yeah, mortar is a mixture of dirt and various other ingredients together with water. If that dry, eventually when that dries out, you could conceivably grind it down, and you could conceivably grind it down and make and make it back into powder that then you can mix with water again and make new mortar. But that new mortar doesn't really stick together, doesn't really hold together as well as it did the first time around, therefore representing in the Nimshol this idea that relearning something that you learned and then forgot is harder than learning something new to begin with. One idea is, Mephoshim say about it, is part of the reason is because you think to yourself, hey, I learned this before, I already know it. So therefore you don't fatifsich in it as much, as opposed to when it's something new, then you realize, you know, I never learned this before, I better sit and learn it very carefully. Okay. So Ben Yoyada has an explanation, has a symbolic explanation of all these things that they refer, that all these ones about fevers and the hot weather and so on and so forth, that all of them have, that all of them refer to different areas in a person's avoda that he needs to be careful about. Okay. Going back to, though, we said that Rebbe had said that there's a difference between the light of there's a difference between moonlight and sunlight early in the morning, where the moonlight, we said, is like one solid column of light, whereas the sunlight spreads out in different directions. We said only on a cloudy day does it also spread out, which is why they got mixed up. So Amar Rabbo, my time of the Rebbe. What is Rebbe's reason that he gets that he's saying that the light of the sun before it comes up above the horizon spreads out? Now, what do you mean? What's Rebbe's reason? The fact is, that's how it is. You look at the sunlight, you look at the moonlight. That's what it looks like. So there's a few explanations. One of them is Hagos Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz in the back of the Gemara points out that there is actually a Braisa where some of the other Chachamim disagree with Rebbe, and there is a braisa someplace where other chachamim disagree with Rebbe, and therefore the Gemara wants to explain what Rebbe's reason is that he disagrees with them. But also, you often find the Gemara will do that. The Gemara wants to find a pasuk, a source in a pasuk, even for an obvious fact that everybody knows. You have other Gemaras that do that. For example, you have a Gemara, let's say, that says, how do we know that Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael? I mean, how do you know? Look on a map, and you'll see that Bavel is north, it is northeast of Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara wants to find a source in Torah for everything. So Dichtiv, you have a Kapitel Chof Beis of Tillim begins, Lam Natseach al Ayelas HaShachar. Now, in the simple meaning, the Mephoshim say Ayelas HaShachar might be the name of an instrument that they were supposed to be playing, or that maybe it's the name of a tune that they were supposed to sing, the name of a song that was known in those days that they were supposed to be playing the Kapitel to. But, and then the Gemara is going to explain soon a drosha about this word Ayelas HaShachar, but the point is that Rebbe is focusing on the word, on the fact that the pasuk is comparing the shachar, the dawn, to Ayelas, to Ayelas, to a female deer. So therefore, the comparison is ma Ayelazu, just like a deer, karneha mafsilas lekan olakan, its horns branch out in one direction or another. Rashi actually says, listen, a female deer doesn't have horns. So therefore, it means, in other words, something from that species. And we're using a female because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, it's also a remez on Esther, and it's a remez on the Jewish people. And then, therefore, it uses Lashon Nekeva. As some of the other Mephoshim say, you know what, actually, I mean, you have, there's two different creatures in Lashon Kodesh that have the same, the word for them, the name for them is the same letters, but different Nekudis. You have Ayil, which means a ram, and you have Ayol, which means a deer or a gazelle or something else in that family. So an ayil, a ram, it's true, the female doesn't have horns, but an ayol, depending how you translate ayol, if it's a deer, then you're right, the female deer don't have horns. But if you're talking about, for example, a gazelle, then they do. There are a number of species, and even among deer, there are a number of subspecies of them where the females have horns or antlers as well. All right, anyway, so the point is, just like the horns or the antlers branch out in all different directions, af shachazem, af tzil, lakan, lakan, the same way the dawn spreads out in every direction. So that's where Rebbe says that the dawn from the sun has that capability. The moonlight does not. The moonlight just goes straight up. Incidentally, Rabbeinu Hanano brings something from the Yerushalmi in Brachas that says that actually there is a certain, here we're explaining that a yelos ha-shachar means you have the dawn, you have the first light of the dawn that starts spreading out on the horizon. So the Yerushalmi actually says that there's a certain stage in the sun's rising in the morning that's actually called a yelos ha-shachar. And the Yerushalmi defines it as 4 mils walk before Alois HaShachar. Now, a mil is anywhere between 18 and 24 minutes, depending which posik you follow. So that would mean that this Ayelos HaShachar is 72 or 96 minutes before Alois HaShachar. So what light are you seeing in the sky then? You know, Alois HaShachar itself, the sky is still dark and it's just starting to lighten. I saw some people suggested maybe that it's something that's called in English the zodiacal light. You have sometimes in the night, not really stars. I mean, not really stars, but you have sometimes if it's a dark night, if you're obviously not, you're not going to see it in the city, but you can see sometimes opposite the sun, you can see in the eastern horizon a very faint glow. Very, very early, very, very late at night, very early in the morning, like we're saying over here, over an hour before Alois HaShachar. It's basically sunlight. Nowadays, the scientists say that it comes from sunlight from way below the horizon that's reflected off dust in space. But this faint light, so maybe that's what the Gemara is referring to over here. Okay. So now that kapitel, Lamnatzeach al Yelos HaShachar, a lot of it is talking about Esther. The Gemara in Megillah says that when Esther came to Achashverosh, we have it at the beginning of Parakeh of the Megillah, when she's coming to plead about what's going on with Haman, and she invites Achashverosh to the first party and then the second party, so the Shechina left her, and she cries out, Keli Keli Loma Azavtani. Which is the second pasuk of that capital. Why the Shechina leave her? Because the place was full of idols. And there's other psukim in that capital, which the Chachamim Darshan about Esther later on in the capital. For example, it says that later on in the capital you have Yechalku Gode Lahem Ba'alavushi Yapilu Gordol. So it says in the Medrash that at first she's standing over there, and at first Achashverosh didn't stick out the scepter. So everybody figured she's a dead woman. What's the lashon over there? Kol Avdei Hamelech Ba'Amedinas Hamelech Yoredim. You know that if you come without permission, Achas Dalsim Amis. So they start whispering among themselves, the guards, after she's killed, I get this baguette of hers, I get that jewelry of hers, or whatever. So literally they're dividing up her clothing while she's still standing there alive. And then all of a sudden Achashverosh stuck out a scepter and she was saved and everything. So there's various psukim in that kapitel that the Chachamim Darshan about Esther. That the David HaMelech wrote the kapitel with Ruach HaKodesh about what's going to happen with Esther hundreds of years later. L'chora, but they were arguing among themselves which one. Okay, I don't know. Anyway. So the Medrash says, right, that there were a few seconds over there, maybe, where Achshverosh was, Achshverosh didn't yet stick out the scepter, and yeah. So Omer Abzeda, Loma Nimshala Esther La Ayala. So why is Esther compared to an Ayala? In other words, on one level, we're saying the capital is called Ayala Sashacha, and we just said, in other words, that the dawn is like an Ayala, is like a deer or a gazelle that spreads in every direction. But now we're saying, Loma Nimshala Ayala Sashacha, it's a capital about Esther. So why is Esther specifically compared, why is she compared to an Ayala specifically? So Loimaloch tells you, Ma Ayala, Rachmatzar, if you consider a female deer or gazelle or whatever an Ayala is, its womb is very narrow. So narrow, in fact, that the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, when Hashem is telling Eov about you don't understand how I run the world, Hashem says, think of when an Ayala is ready to give birth, the baby won't be able to come out because the birth canal is too narrow. So I have to send at that exact moment a snake to bite her, and that causes the muscles to relax, and therefore the baby's able to come out. So Hashem says, I'm able to do things on a split second like that. Don't think I don't know how to run the world. So the womb is very narrow, and therefore the chaviva al baila kol shor v'shor kishor v'shoina. Therefore, every time its mate has relations with it, every time its mate mates with it, then it has pleasure like the first time. Unlike, for example, a human woman, where first she's a b'sula and then she's not. And ayala, in effect, is a b'sula throughout her life. The same way Esther was as beautiful and precious to Ahasuerus every time, like the first time. In other words, exactly that. She was nervous about how can I go to him? I need to learn the crazy. But almost as soon as she comes, okay, there was a few seconds in between, but Ahasuerus sticks out the scepter, Maloch Esther Amalka. So after all, he wants her, even though they've been already married for many years by that point. So therefore, so in that sense, she's compared to an Ayala. Well, by that point, I mean, Esther had first been taken to the palace. So, okay, let's see. Vashti was executed in Ahasuerus' third year. After that, you had the beauty contest, and it says Esther. No, it lasted more than a year. It lasted a few years. Esther was brought to the palace, it says, in the seventh year of Ahasuerus in Tevis. Now, the Gzeira of Haman was in Ahasuerus' 12th year. So you're talking over 5 years later. But still, Ahasuerus hadn't gotten bored with her, and she was still chaviv to him. So therefore, we compare it to an Ayala. Omer Rav Asi, Loma Nimshala Esther L'Shachar. Okay, so that explains why Esther is compared to a deer. So that's Ayelas. Why Hashachar? Loma Loch, it tells you, Ma Shachar Soif Kol Alayla, just like the dawn is the end of the whole night, as Esther Soif Kol Anissim. The same way Esther, the story of Esther, is the end of all the open Nissim. So the Gemara asks, about Ika Chanukah, what about the Nes Chanukah, which happened a couple of hundred years later? The answer is Nitna L'Kosev Kamrinan. We're talking about the Nissim that were given to be written in Tanakh. Esther happened after the time of Tanakh is over. Nes Chanukah happened after the Tanakh is over. We don't have a sefer of Tanakh that describes the events of Chanukah. We have the books of Chashmonaim and whatever, but those weren't Nitna L'Kosev. Those, there wasn't specific permission to write at the time, because Torah Shabbosav still had to be, Torah Shabbalpeh still had to be Baalpeh at that time. So Megillas Esther, we're going to get to in a second what the deal with that is. But actually, there is an interesting vort about that, I think, from the Bnei Yisachar, that says, Taka, why did the Eibishter arrange it that way? Why didn't he arrange that there should be a Megillas Chanukah? And he says, because with Chanukah, you have the Greeks were trying Lashkicham Torah Secha La'avim Chokhe Zanecha. One of the main things they were fighting against is Torah Shabbal Peh. So appropriately, we have Chanukah is only in Torah Shabbat Peh. The sources we have on it, in Torah, are all in Torah Shabbat Peh. Megillas Tainis, the Gemara in Shabbos. So, Taka, because it was a war against Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, what do we mean over here, by the way? Marsha asks, usually a Nes is compared to daylight. Like we were in darkness, and then we come into daylight. Why over here are we saying the other way around? The Nisim are compared to the night, and Esther, which is the end of that whole period of open Nisim, is compared to the dawn. So he says, because you have a special class of Nisim that take place in the middle of the night. You have at the end of the Seder in many Haggadahs, you have a Zemer that begins over there, Vayhi Bachtzia Laila, in the middle of the night, and we talk about a whole bunch of things. Avraham defeated the four kings in the middle of the night, and then Gideon defeated Midian in the middle of the night, and so on, and then Marcus Bechodus was in the middle of the night, and many others. So therefore, in that sense, we're saying Esther is in that class of Nisim, therefore it's the end of all that period of Nisim, and therefore it's like the dawn after the night. Okay, so that's the difference. In other words, Esther was Nitna L'Kosev, it was meant to be written as part of Kisvei HaKodesh, whereas Chanukah is not. So that's the thing. So I think the Bnei Yisachar says, by Esther, the primary thing that Haman was out to get was Torah Shabbosav, well, and Torah Shabbosav, but yeah, therefore it's written in Torah Shabbosav, yeah, whereas by Chanukah, it was more on Torah Shabbosav, yeah. So the question is, okay, that works out according to the opinion that Esther is in fact given to be written down, and it's Metameis Yadayim, that's considered a sefer of Kisvei HaKodesh, it's considered a sefer with the full Kedusha of any other book of Tanakh. What about according to the opinions over there that Esther is not Metameis Yadayim, it's not really a full-fledged sefer of Tanakh? Now, Tosfos Yeshanim adds, even that opinion would agree that Midrabanan we have to write it, because after all, you have to read the Megillah on Purim. It's a Takanas Chachamim to read the Megillah on Purim. So even according to that opinion, you do have to write it. But in other words, the idea would be, according to that opinion, it's not part of Tanakh. It's a sefer that the Chacham said. The Chacham said you have a mitzvah to write it and then to read it, but it wouldn't have the full Kedusha of Tanakh. So according to that opinion, then what do you mean? Then Megillas Esther and Chanukah are on the same level. that Samayu Kolomim, according to that opinion, what are you going to say? The answer is Moikim Lakar of Binyamin Bar Yefes. In that case, then he would understand that the comparison to it, that the Ayelos HaShachar actually teaches us something different. It teaches us what Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes says. Omer Rabbi Lazar. He says in the name of Rabbi Lazar. The Omer Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Omer Rabbi Lazar. Lama Nimshalu Tfilosan Shal Tzadikim Ka Ayelos. Why is the Tfilah of Tzadikim compared to a deer or a gazelle? And here what we're doing is we're taking the word Shachar and using it not in the sense of the word dawn, but in the sense of beseeching and begging by Hashem. Rashi brings, for example, a positive, Ruchi b'kiri ha-shacharecha. So shachar can also mean to seek out and to daven to Hashem. So ayelos ha-shachar, the tefillah that is like an ayelos. So what's the comparison? Loi malach tells you ma ayolazu kozman shemagadelas karnei machzilas. When a deer, the longer a deer grows, the older it gets, the more its horns grow. And develop new layers or new branches or whatever. If we're talking about a deer over here, then it has the antlers branch out and develop new branches every year. After tzaddikim calls mancha marvin the tefillah. The same way tzaddikim, the more they continue davening tefillos and nishmas, their tefillah is listened to by Hashem. So that's the comparison. Ayelos ha-shachar. So according to that, the word shachar doesn't mean dawn like in the previous drasha. It means davening, which is compared to ayelos. Okay. Then we continued in the Mishnah. Shochtu es ha-tamid. We said that this one time when they mixed up the moonlight and the sunlight, then they shechted the korban tamid. Then they discovered it's actually still nighttime, and then they had to burn it, and then they had to burn it. They had to bring another one, yeah, of course. Then the Mishnah continues. Then the Mishnah continues that horidu kohen gadol beis ha-tvila. They took the kohen gadol to the mikveh to tovel. So the question is, Amos, when did this take place? Ilema b'shari yemei zashana. Are you going to tell me that it happened some other time during the year? Well, at which the logical thing would be to assume that, because as the Gemara is going to say in a second, the moon doesn't rise at that time of night on Yom Kippur. So Bapashka said it had to be some other time during the year. Well, lois sagya delav kohen gadol. Then is it impossible without the kohen gadol? In other words, the rest of the year, the kohen gadol doesn't have to do the avodah. If he wants to, he could. So why are we saying they brought down the kohen gadol to the beis hatfilah like that's the next thing that happened? And what? That would make for some more sense if it was Yom Kippur. Now, the Ritva says, it is true, we learned in the first parak that the Kohen Gadol can do the Avodah whenever he wants. However, the Mishnah is not a storybook. The Mishnah wouldn't be telling us that they took the Kohen Gadol to Tovel unless we're supposed to be learning a din from that. So what din would we be learning? Ela b'yemek Kippurim, are you going to say it's on Yom Kippur? Ma'or alavana mi'ika. There's no light of the moon at that time close to the end of the night. Now, what it is like this. The moon... The moon's cycle every day is a little bit longer than the sun's. The sun's cycle is 24 hours and the moon's is 24 hours and about 50 minutes. So what happens is around the time of the Molad, the moon rises at the same time as the sun, or slightly after it, and sets around the same time as the sun, which is one reason why during that the beginning of the month, it's very hard to see the moon, because it's very close to the sun, besides the fact that the crescent is very small. The next night it rises about 50 minutes after sunrise, and sets about 50 minutes after sunset, and so forth. Every day it gets later and later. By the time you come to Yom Kippur, the sun is rising about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the moon rather, is rising about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and setting about 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's not rising at a time early through the, now like this, what are we talking about? We're saying they're looking out for Alois HaShachar. They're looking out for Alois HaShachar, which let's say is 4 or 5 in the morning. So fine, it happens. The moon rises at 3 or 3:30 in the morning or something, and they think that it's the sunlight. They wouldn't do that if it's rising in the middle of the afternoon. So on Yom Kippur, you don't have Ma'ur Alavana. So what's going on over here? Hochikama. So you're right. What the Mishnah means is, the structure of the Mishnah is as follows. The Mishnah is mentioning that they would send somebody up to the roof or to the top of the wall to see whether it's light enough yet. And if it was, you would say Barkai and so forth. Then the Mishnah pauses a second with telling what happened on Yom Kippur and asks, so why do they need that whole thing? Why don't they just look on the ground? And the answer is because one time they mixed it up. Now the Mishnah resumes the description over Yom Kippurim ki ama barak barkai. When the guy on the roof says barkai, there's a flash of light in the sky, it's starting to get light, then haridu kohen gadol beis hatzvila. Then at that point on Yom Kippur they would have the kohen gadol tovel and start the avodah of Yom Kippur. So it's not one long story. Shui that one time they had the problem, and then on that same day they had the Kohen Gadol Tovel. It's two different things. The that they got mixed up is explaining, is a side thing, explaining why they needed to send somebody up to the roof. And now we're resuming with the description of Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol went there, that they brought the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTevila to Tovel and start the Avodah. So if it's cloudy, you can still see a light in the sky. It may be a little later, but eventually you're going to see it. So, No, you don't have to see the sun. That's the thing. Because remember, they're starting at Alois HaShachar. So at Alois HaShachar, you don't see the sun over the horizon yet anyway. You see the light. So you see the light. You see the light that's coming over the horizon. So you'll see in that case, the clouds on that sky, on that side of the sky, will be lighter than they otherwise would. We're city boys. I mean, what do we know of, you know, looking at these things? But if you're living in a place without a lot of nighttime lights and whatever, then you know you're going to be more sensitive to these kinds of changes. And okay, fine. Now, so we said that when they shechted the korban tamid and it was before Eloise Shachar, then it was posel when they had to burn it. So now we're going to talk about that a little bit. Toni Avur did Rav Oven, the father of Rav Oven taught a braisa, loy zubil vad omru, it's not only this kind of thing, shechting the korban tamid, that is posel if it was done before Eloise Shachar, ela af malika sa'oif, also malika of a bird korban, if they did it before Eloise Shachar, then it's posel when you have to burn it, ukmitzas mincha balayla, and if you did the kmitza of a mincha balayla, if you did any of these things by night, tisoref, then the korban has to be burnt, and it's possible. So then we ask why. B'shlema oila sa'oif, I can understand with an oila sa'oif why it's possible. Mai de hava hava, what's done is done. You can't bring the bird back alive again. So therefore, necessarily it's possible. Ela koimetz, but why should taking the koimetz of the mincha make it, in the nighttime, make it possible to the extent where you have to burn it? Nehadra, why don't we put the koimetz back into the keli, v'nehadev and nikmetz of the yama, and then we'll just take a new koimetz in the daytime. So the answer is, who toni lo, v'hu omala. So the father of Rav Oven taught this braisa, the father of Rav Oven also explained why, klei shores mekadshin afilu shaloi bizmanu. Because a klei shores makes the thing kodesh even outside of the proper time. So Rashi explains, in other words, when you take the koimetz of the mincha, the way it works is, the mincha is brought in a klei shores, then the kohen takes the koimetz and places it into another klei shores. And that's what gives it kedusha leguf, that now it's going to be burnt on the mizbeach and we matur the rest of the mincha to eat. So that even though it's in a kli kodesh already, so that gave the mincha as a whole its kedusha. But now you have what it is the Gemara in Zvachim and Menachas explains the avoidus of a mincha parallel the avoidus of an animal korban. By an animal korban, you have shchita, kabbalah, holocha, and zrika. So by mincha, you have paralleling that, you have kmitza, which corresponds to shchita. Then you have to have placing it in a keli, which corresponds to kabbalah sadam. Then you have to walk it over to the mizbeach, and then you have to throw it onto the fire. So that's, so you have four avodas corresponding to the four avodas of an animal korban. So no, we mean the whole mincha. So what happens is you place the koimetz in a keli, having in mind that it's a koimetz. So now you can't put it back with the mincha and pretend like nothing happened. So therefore now you have a koimetz and shirayim, and therefore the whole thing becomes possible. Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim discuss possibilities. Maybe we're not just talking about the koimetz. I mean, we are saying the whole thing becomes possible, but that may be for a different reason anyway. You have a din that if a mincha has to be exactly an isorin or exactly a multiple of a stroinim. So if something of it is missing, then the whole rest of it is going to become possible anyway, because you have to have a fully sorted. Now you took out a koimetz, you don't have a fully sorted anymore. But in any case, Tosfos and Tosfos trying to discuss that maybe actually it's not even just the fact that the koimetz was placed in a kli shoris, just the fact that the mincha itself was in a kli shoris might be enough to passel it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mace, we have a contradiction to that. A braisa says, Zeh haklal, this is the rule. Kol ha-korev bayoyim, kodesh bayoyim. Anything that is offered on the mizbeach by day can become kodesh only by day in a kli shoris and get kedusha leguf only by day. So what is korev bayoyim? So Rashi gives examples. Most things are brought only by day. Menachos, levoina that's going to be offered on the mizbeach, blood, ketores, all those things have to be offered during the day. It's possible if they're brought during the night. So they become kodesh in a kli shoris only by day. B'chol ha-korev v'layla, kodesh v'layla, anything that is offered on the mizbeach at night is kodesh, can become kodesh in a kli shoris by night. What is an example of that? Rashi says a minchas nesachim. because the Minchas Nesachim can be brought by night. You have an Olo or a Shlomim, and then an Olo or a Shlomim and, that were brought during the daytime, you can bring the Minchas Nesachim of them the following night, or one of the following nights. And the Chol HaKodesh Ben Bayom Ben Balayla, Kodesh Ben Bayom Ben Balayla. Anything that can be offered, whether by day or by night, can become Kodesh, and a Klei Shoris by day or by night. Now, Hagoyes HaBach, and Hagoyes HaMarav Ransburg, and a number of other Mephoshim say that, so why do we have three separate cases over here? I mean, the Minchas Nesachim is not really something that can only be brought by night. After all, it can be brought during the day also. So why do we have day, night, and day or night? And we're going to say Minchas Nesachim is in the second category. It's not. It's really in the third category. So they actually take out the second category from the Gemara over here. They say you only have two categories. One, things that are offered only by day, and one, things that are offered by day or by night. On the other hand, some of the Rishonim, the Meiri, or Ben Oyakim, say that maybe the things that's offered by night could refer to the oil in the menorah. The menorah is set up in the evening, is set up at the last avodah of the day, is setting it up, and then it burns, and then it's lit before shkia, and it burns the whole night. So arguably, now it's lit before shkia. They understand, apparently, that the dievet, if you didn't light it before shkia, you can light it sometime during the night. So in that sense, therefore, it's something that is offered and then burning in the menorah the whole night, and therefore that would be the kind of thing that's kaddish and gets kaddish as a goof only at night. Okay. Anyway, the point is, Katoni Mias, so in any way, the Braisa says, Kol HaKodesh Bayom, Kodesh Bayom. Anything that's offered during the day is Kodesh only during the day, implying Bayom Ein Belayla Loi. So only by day, not by night. So what's the problem over here? You placed the mincha in a Kli Shoris by night. You did the knitza at night and placed it in another Kli Shoris. What's the problem? A mincha can be brought only during the day. Therefore, the Kli Shoris should make it Kaddish only during the day, and there should be no problem. Put the kmitza back in. Pretend like nothing ever happened. Make it what Rashi calls tevel, al derech like you have with grain or produce or whatever before you take truma from it. It's called tevel. So the same way over here, the mincha in a certain sense is tevel before you take the kaimitz from it. So fine, put the kaimitz back in. Nothing happened, and then start over again after Alei Seshachar. No, on the borderline, then it either is or it isn't. The answer is Duma ain't a Kodesh Likrav our Kodesh Lifsal. You could say that when the Braisa means that a Kli Shoris is Mekadesh only during the proper time, only by day or by night, respectively, means that it's only Mekadesh it as far as that you can offer it on the Mizbeach. But maybe even outside the time, it's Mekadesh it in the sense that it becomes possible. So now you have, in other words, there's a number of differences between something that has kedushas aguf and something that only has kedushas domim. For example, if a tevul yom touches it, then it becomes posel. And for example, if it's taken outside the azara, or if it's left over overnight, lina, then it becomes posel. All of that only happens for its kodesh, for kli shoris. So for example, maybe what we're saying is that if you take the koimetz and put it in a kli shoris by night, it doesn't become kodesh in that you can burn it on the mizbeach, but it becomes kodesh as far as that now it has kedushas aguf, even though it's nighttime. So now, for example, lina will make it possible. Well, alois hashachar is when lina takes effect. So therefore, this koimetz is in the keli, come alois hashachar, therefore it becomes possible, and therefore you'd have to burn it. Burn it, in other words, not on the Mizbeach, as you're supposed to do with the Kaimitz of the Kaimitz, but burn it as Psulei HaMakdoshim, and then the Mincha would be possible. So maybe that's what it is. Only if you put the Kaimitz in a Kli Shoris by day can you offer it on the Mizbeach, but even if you put it in the Kli Shoris by night, then that's already enough to make it possible as soon as Alois HaShachar comes. If you do it during the day, no. A koimetz of a mincha you can't bring at night. Minchas nesachim you can bring at night. The minchas nesachim you don't take a koimetz of. The whole thing is burnt and poured on the mizbeach. But. Okay. Mostly Reb Zera. So Reb Zera says in that case I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Menachos tells us like this. Now we know the Lachem Aponim is supposed to be set up on the Lachem Aponim together with the Bazichim, this two spoonfuls of Torahs, is supposed to be set up on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and it remains on the Shulchan the entire week, and then the following Shabbos they take it off and they burn the Lavoina on the Mizbeach and they distribute the Lachem Aponim among the Kohanim and they put on new Lachem Aponim. So the Mishnah describes Sidurus Alechem as Bazichin Achara Shabbos. Suppose they put the Lechem upon him and the Bazichin on the Shulchan after Shabbos, so on Sunday, let's say, the Hichturus Bazichin the Shabbos, and then the following Shabbos they offered the Bazichin on the Mizbeach as usual. Psula, then it's possible because it has to stay there for the entire week. The Lechem upon him and the Bazichin have to stay there the entire week. Now Rashi brings over here that. Therefore, in other words, it's Mechosos Man. It hasn't been on the Shulchan long enough. It has to be there from Shabbos to Shabbos. Rashi does bring, though, that a possibility that maybe we don't need the word Psula in the Gemara over here. Because after all, we're going to say that it's not completely possible. There is a way around it. There is a way to make this Lechem upon him kosher after all. So in other words, there's two points. Number one, the Mishnah itself is going to continue that there's a way of fixing it up. Second of all, the Maskana of our Sugya over here, which we're going to get to in a little bit, is going to explain that not necessarily the fact that it was set up on Sunday is not necessarily yet considered that it's in a Kli Shares, because the Lechem Aponim only has the effect on making the Lechem Kodesh only on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to call it soon. Imagine as if a monkey put it on there, like not even a human being put it on there, then it's obviously not in a Kli Shares. So why are we saying that just because you burnt the Bazichin, why should that make it Psula? So Rashi says maybe we take out the word Psula. Tosfos Hashanim says not necessarily. I mean, you could still say it means Psula, just in the sense, not the Lechem upon him itself is not possible, but in the sense, normally, burning the Lavona and the Bazichin is the equivalent of burning the Koimetz of a Mincha. That's what makes now that it's now allowed to be eaten by the Koyanim. Now, in this case, that Haktoras HaBazichin was possible because the Lechem upon him didn't stay a full week on the Shulchan. So therefore, you're going to need to get other Bazichin and leave them with it. So the Mishnah continues, Kate said Yasa, so what do you do to fix up the situation? Yanichenu l'Shabbos haba. You should leave the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan until the following week. So if they put it up, let's say, they put it on the Shulchan by mistake, instead of putting it on Shabbos, let's say they put it on Sunday of Parshas Bamidbar, Sunday of this week. So now we're saying, if they were now, this coming Shabbos, Parshas Bamidbar, if they were to take the Bazichin and burn him, no good. What do? We leave the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan a whole nother week. We leave it until the week of Shabbos, Parshas Nasi. Not till. Has to be Shabbos. So we leave it until Shabbos, Parshas Nasi, and then that's no problem. Shafilo Omda ala Shulchan, Yomim Ram, Ein Bekach Klum. Because even if it stayed on the Shulchan for many days, there's no problem with it. The point is, it has to stay from one Shabbos to another, but as long as it's there on Shabbos, and there the next Shabbos, then it's, now Rashi actually in this Sugya learns, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, that you do need to take it off on Shabbos. You need to actually place it on there on Shabbos. So in other words, Rashi would explain, and Rashi would understand, in our scenario, you put it on there Sunday of Parshas Bamidbar, you have to take on Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, you have to take it off there, put the same Lechem upon him back, together with the Bozichim, then leave it there until Shabbos Parshas Nasai, and then you're going to take it off and do as normal. The Rambam actually holds you don't necessarily need to do that. The Rambam doesn't mention that, and it seems from his wording that you don't need to. Once it's on there, come Shabbos, then automatically it's as if it was put a place back on there, right? So then it could stay there as many Shabbosim as necessary, as long as it's on the Shulchan, it doesn't become possible in the same sense, for example, as long as pieces of Korbanos are on top of the Mizbeach, then Lina doesn't affect them. So therefore. So the question is, Reb Zera is asking, Ba'amai, now, according to what you're saying, that a Kli Shores Shaloi Bizmanoi is Mekadosh something as far as Kedushas like Guf, but not to the extent where you can be Makrivit, Tikdosh V'Tiposel. Then the Shulchan is a Kli Shores, so therefore it should make the Lechem upon him, when you put it on there on Sunday, then it becomes Posel, but not that you can be Makrivit. Why are we saying that in effect, we're saying that the Shulchan has no effect on the Lechem upon him if you place it on there on Sunday or any other day of the week? Why not? It's like putting the Kmitzah in the Kli Shores by night. So there we're saying that it's enough to make it Posel. So why in that case, by the Lechem upon him, is placing it on there on Sunday not enough to make it Posel? Amar Rava. So Rava says, you should realize we have a good question over here. Mandakam Mosiv, Shapukam Mosiv, the one who asked the question of Zera, he has a very good question. But after all, that doesn't mean that we can slog up what Avur Rab Oven said, because Avur Rab Oven Nami Masnisakam. After all, Avur Rab Oven, if what he said was his own statement, okay, he's contradicted by Mishnah, that's it, Tiyufta. But because he himself is bringing a Braisa as well, a Braisa, we can say that a Braisa and a Mishnah contradict each other, and the halacha is only like one of them. But we'd prefer not to. We would prefer to say that, after all, both it's a Stam Braisa, a Stam Mishnah, we would prefer to say that they would agree with each other. Let's see if we can find a way to make them work with each other. So Vakasavar, what it is the Tana, the Tanoim of these respective things, of the Braisa and of the Mishnah, they hold Laila en Mechusar Zman, Yom Mechusar Zman. What it is if it's placed in a Kli Shoris by night, then that's not considered Mechusar Zman, because the next day is going to be the proper time for it. Now, when it comes to Kodshim, we say HaLaila HaLach HaYom. When it comes to Kodshim, the night follows the day. In other words, for example, Sunday night is a continuation of Sunday. But for most other purposes in Halacha, we say the night before leads into the day, Vayi'erev Vayi'boker. So Motzei Shabbos belongs to Sunday. So if you let's say put the koimus in the klisharis on Motzei Shabbos, it's by night. It's not the time for bringing a mincha. But the fact that it's only the night before the following day is not considered mechusar zman. That's not too. It is too early in the sense that you can't be makriv it, but it's not too early for the klisharis to be able to have an effect on the thing and give it kedushas aguf. On the other hand, yom mechusar zman, but daytime is mechusar zman, where it's only where the time for it is only tomorrow. So in this case, with the lechem aponim, what is it? You put it on there on Sunday. The time to put it on the shulchan is only going to be 6 days later on Shabbos. Therefore, that's considered mechusar zman. So in other words, we have like this. If you place it in a kli shoris by day on the day when you're supposed to be makriv it, then it gets kedushas aguf, and now you can offer it on the mizbeach. If it was placed the night before, then we're saying that it only gets kedushas aguf as far as that it can become posel with lina and various other things, but not that you can offer it on the mizbeach. And if it was placed on a day before it becomes ready to, for example, the lechem aponim being placed on Sunday or any day of the week, Friday for that matter, also any day before Shabbos, then it's not even kodesh to the extent of having kedushas aguf and being able to become posel with lina. So now you have it sitting on the shulchan another 6 days until Shabbos, no problem, it doesn't become posel with lina during that time. So the question is, Kimoti Beishimshi Tikdush Vatifsel. Okay, fine, but then what happens when it comes Beinashmoshes, coming into Shabbos? So now already that's the night before it's supposed to be placed on the Shulchan, because it's supposed to be placed on the Shulchan the next day. So Friday night comes, then at that point, this Lechem Aponim that was sitting on the Shulchan beginning on Sunday, now it should become possible. Fine, we can agree with Rava Svara. We can say on Sunday it doesn't become possible because Mechus is man. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it doesn't become possible. Friday night, there was already Lila. That's already the night before the time when it's supposed to be placed on the Shulchan. So at that point, it should become posel. The same logic as we're saying, you place the koimetz in the Kli Sharis the night before you're supposed to bring the Mincha, and we're saying it becomes posel with Lina. By the same logic, if the Lechem Aponim was placed on the Shulchan on Friday night, and if there's Lechem Aponim, so if it was placed there the previous Shabbos, okay, it's supposed to, Gzeres HaKosev, it's supposed to stay there from Shabbos to Shabbos, so obviously, therefore, it doesn't become posel Friday night. But here, if we're saying, so you placed it in early, it didn't yet get Kedushas Aguf. So now, once the night before the day comes, which is Friday night, then at that point, the Kli Sharis should be activated, and now it should give it Kedushas Aguf and make it posel. The answer is, Amar Ravina Shakodam Masilkoi. So Ravina says, you'd have to be talking about that before Shabbos began, they took it off the Shulchan. And then they put it back afterwards. Right. So it didn't kick in. Ravina Amar, Ravashnama, Afilu Tema B'Shaloi Kodam Masilkoi. You don't even need that. You don't even need to say necessarily that you took it off before Bein HaShmoshes of Shabbos, because since it was placed on the Shulchan at the wrong time on Sunday or some other day of the week, rather than on Shabbos, then in effect it's as if a monkey put it there. In other words, as if it was put in without any human intervention. So it was placed at a time when it's mechusar zman. So again, if they had taken when you take the koimetz by night and put it in a kli shoris, or if they had put the lechem aponim there by night, then yes, you'd have a problem. But like this, when it was, like this. when the time comes that it should be Kaddish, because it was placed there at the wrong time, we consider as though it was never placed there. Therefore, what happens is, so the Shulchan is not Mekadosh it. When is it going to be Mekadosh it? Rashi says, you would have to take it off the Shulchan and put it back. So not like Ravina says that you would have to necessarily take it off before Bein HaShemashos and make sure it's off during the whole Bein HaShemashos so that it doesn't get activated and become fossil. Or not even Bein HaShemashos, actually. You'd have to keep it off the whole night. You'd have to keep it off the whole Friday night and only put it on Shabbos morning. Ravashi is saying you don't need that. All you need is at some point on Shabbos, you take it off, sometime during Shabbos day, you take it off and you put it back on. And that's enough to make it that now it was placed on the Shulchan, and now it can stay there the entire week. And again, according to the Rambam, apparently you don't even need that. According to him, just the fact that it's there come Shabbos morning is enough to make it considered that it was placed there on Shabbos morning. The fact that it was placed earlier in the week is as if it wasn't placed there at all. Automatically, now it kicks in Shabbos morning that now it's placed there, and therefore it's good, and therefore you just have to leave it for the following Shabbos, and then you can continue with the normal schedule of the Lechem Avodim. So the bottom line is again that any avoda that's done by night, so almost any avoda that's done by night is possible. So including shchita and melika and kmitza. And we're saying, therefore, that place in the Komets, in the Kli Shares, by night, is enough to make it Kodesh in the sense that Lina will now passel it. So as soon as Alois HaShachar comes, it's going to be passel. Therefore, it's going to have to be burnt, and the Mincha as a whole is passel. On the other hand, with the Lechem upon him, if you placed it earlier in the week, then it's no problem. According to Rashi, you still have to take it off sometime on Shabbos, and according to the Rambam, you don't even need to do that, but you have to leave it there until the following Shabbos, and then you can offer the Bazichin on the Mizbeach and have the Kohenim eat the Lechem upon him and put on fresh Lechem upon him and store it again as usual. Okay. Everyone.